Close the doors, Susan. Am I to assume you know these people?
They're my school teachers. Why have you come here?
I am Ian Chesterton, and this is Barbara Wright.
Where are we?
Mysteriously.
They followed you back here. I knew I shouldn't have allowed you to be enrolled in that school. Something like this was bound to happen.
Disbelievingly.
And is this really your home, Susan?
Yes.
Is there anything wrong with that?
Puzzled.
But it's a police telephone box. I walked right round it. You saw me, Barbara, didn't you?
Mysteriously.
Whether you understand or not is of no interest to me. All I care about is what to do with you now, You realize we can't let them go, Susan. They'll tell everyone about the ship.
Angrily.
Ship? What do you mean, ship?
Mysteriously. In fact, let's assume he says everything mysteriously, unless I say otherwise, all right?
Exactly what I say. This isn't a bicycle, you know.
The can go anywhere.
I don't understand you, Susan.
Got to think of a good name for the spaceship. Any suggestions?
I made up the name from the initials.
So, let me get this straight. Something resembling a police box stuck in the corner of a junkyard, it can move anywhere in space and time?
Perhaps I better introduce myself. My name is Doctor Who, and I'm a space traveller from Venus in the 49th century.
Might be better to keep his origins a secret for a while longer. What do you think?
Have you ever considered what it is like to be travellers in the dimensions of space and time?
Oh, yes, this is much better.
Well, have you? To be outcasts?
Yes, I like this.
There's no way back home. Not for the likes of Susan and I. Adrift between worlds, between times. Nowhere that's ours. Nowhere we truly belong. Always alien. But one day,
very nice.
Please, Dr. Foreman, what is going on here?
That's not his name. Who is he? Doctor Who? Maybe if we solved that, we'd have a chance of solving everything else about this crotchety old man and his unearthly grandchild.
Mr. Bannister. Mr. Bannister.
What is it?
Come on, Mr. Bannister, wake up. If you sleep through the day, you won't sleep at night, will you?
Perhaps I like being awake at night. Has that occurred to you? Perhaps I prefer it. With no one around, so I can get some peace at last.
Look at the state of this room. You really are a mucky pup, aren't you?
No.
Yes, you are. You're a mucky pup. And what's this? By the wardrobe. This green stain.
Really, Miss Wright, I can hardly be expected to know the origins of each and every stain I produce.
It's green and hard. That smell. It's like nothing on earth.
It's probably just mould.
It'll take ages to shift. And you with a visitor to entertain.
A visitor? I don't get visitors.
You've got one now. Isn't that nice? I'll show him in, shall I?
But I don't get visitors.
Sorry about the mess. He's a mucky pup. Can I get you a cup of tea, Mr?
No. Well, thank you.
My God, it's you.
So you do recognise me?
Yes, I think so.
I didn't think you would.
Tell me, this may seem silly. I've seen you in my dreams, you see.
In your dreams?
Is your name Ian Chesterton?
No.
Are you quite sure?
It's Philip.
Oh, Philip. Yes, but Philip what? There are lots of Philips, you know.
Philip Bannister. I'm your son, remember?
Right. No tea, then. You boys have fun.
Are they treating you all right here?
Yes, thanks.
Hardly thought I'd find you in a nursing home. Not your style at all.
It's funny. You look so different.
What did you expect?
When I think of you, it's always as a little boy. I mean, I know you've aged. I mean, obviously. But when I think of you, and I do, you know.
You can't expect things to stay the same just because you're not interested in them anymore.
I don't. No.
Don't think I care, Dad, because I really don't.
And how are you? Hey, son, would you like to sit down?
Not much.
He's a bit messy, I'm afraid. How are you? You look well, you look fit. How's your mother? Is she keeping well? Is she fit? Oh, please, sit down.
She's dead. All right. She's dead.
Oh.
That's why I came. She died last week.
I'm sorry. A good woman. Very nice. What did she die of? If it isn't too crass to ask.
Yes, it is too crass to ask.
All right.
You walked out on us. You don't get the right to ask what she died of.
So long as it wasn't too painful. It wasn't too painful, was it, Philip?
Anyway, I thought you should know.
You're not leaving, are you?
What more is there to say?
You haven't told me when the funeral is.
We had the funeral, Dad.
Oh.
You see now?
Yes, I see.
I thought you should know. Your wife died, and we had the funeral without you. I thought you should know.
Was it a nice funeral?
What?
Oh, the weather's been up and down lately. Weather good for you?
Yes, thanks.
Buried or cremated?
Cremated.
Oh, yes, that was you doing me best. Always economical. Wouldn't have wanted to take up much space.
She didn't want you there. Said that on her deathbed.
No, she didn't. She forgave me everything. She always did. Maybe that's why I found her so dull.
It was me. I didn't want you there.
Yeah, well, I deserve that. Yes, funny. My third wife died last year. The one I left your mum for. Did you know I had a third wife?
Yes.
Your mother survived her, even though she was a little older, I think. And what's funny is that Mary, my first wife, the one I left for your mother, she's still alive and kicking. They seem to be dying in the wrong order. Someone should say something. Tell me about you, Philip.
What's to tell?
Are you happy? What do you do?
I've got a wife. A beautiful wife. As beautiful as Mum was. And I've got a terrific son. His name's Tom. He's my pride and joy. He is. I wouldn't hurt him, not for anything. And we all live together and we're really happy.
I have a grandson?
I'm a good husband, a good father. I work really hard at it. I'm better than you. I decided I'd do everything better than you. For me, it would work. I would do everything different. Whatever you did, I'd do the opposite. A good husband. I'm good at it. I won't find it funny when my wife dies. I won't make stupid jokes. And if my son ever told me he hated me, because I do, Dad, I really hate you. If my son ever felt the way about me I feel about you, I'd die of shame.
I have a grandson.
Yes.
How old?
13.
13? I never knew I had a grandson.
He's nothing to do with you. He's mine, all right.
Ready for that tea now?
I really have to be going.
Oh, what a shame. Mr. Bannister doesn't get many visitors, do you?
How is the writing going?
I don't do that anymore. I've nothing left to say.
I suppose not. Must be hard. When the thing you put above everything else, Mum, everything, finally runs out. Thank you, Miss Wright.
We'll be seeing you again, I hope.
Oh, I don't think so. Goodbye.
You're a writer. I never knew that.
I used to be a writer.
I used to write, too. Poetry when I was young. I was good at it. Everyone said so.
I wrote television and plays for the theatre.
Anything I might have seen?
Easy Laughter? Breaking Bread Together? They won awards, you know.
No, sorry.
Oh, Juliet Bravo.
You wrote Juliet Bravo?
I love that, with the police officer
who... Who's a woman, yes.
It plays on UK Gold. We don't let the residents see it in the common room. All that crime stuff makes them agitated, but I watch it in my room sometimes. You wrote that. Fancy.
Some of it.
Since we're both writers, maybe I could read you some of my poems. I still have them somewhere. It'll pass the time.
The hours will fly by, Miss Wright.
Barbara, please.
Barbara Wright? Is that really your name?
Yes. Why? I used to love writing. I should try it again. It's good fun, isn't it?
It's the only thing I ever felt truly passionate about. I used to burn with ideas, to put things down on paper, to say something new, to change the world just a little. I'd have given my soul for it. Sometimes I think I did.
Well, that's lovely. I'll dig out those verses for you.
What fun!
Lovely.
Do you know where we are, Grandfather?
Yes, my dear. I've taken us back to the time of Hannibal. Should be a fascinating adventure.
You're saying we've gone back in time?
Yes, quite so.
And that when you open that door, what we'll see outside won't be a junkyard in London, in England, in the year 1963.
It's impossible.
But it's true. Oh, try to believe us, please.
If you could build castles out of alien sand, and see the nests of strange birds, and watch them chirp and twitter in alien trees, would that satisfy you?
And he opens the doors and leaves.
Come on, we better get outside and follow Doctor Who.
A quick thought. Is Doctor Who the name of the character or the title of the series? I think we should decide.
We better get outside and follow Doctor...
Does it mean the granddaughter is called Susan Who? Sounds a bit silly.
We better get...
It's up to you, but Doctor Who, he sounds vaguely oriental, which might not suit the casting Verity has in mind. It's just a thought.
Look, do you mind?
Oh, sorry.
We'd better get outside and follow the doctor.
This doesn't look like the Alps.
Indeed not, my child. What's going on?
It's a petrified forest.
On a dead planet.
Oh, dear, this doesn't look like the basis for an educational history series at all. Sydney Newman will be most put out.
Look, Grandfather! Footprints! Like green stains on the forest floor. Hard to the touch.
And the smell like nothing on earth.
You mucky pup, that'll take ages to shift.
And on that tree, look, claw marks gouging out the wood.
What shall we do, Grandfather? Should we follow the footprints?
It all seems evidence of some terrifying beast. I think we should go back to the ship and find Hannibal.
Too late!
It's a monster.
It has the eyes of a bug.
Oh, dear. A bug-eyed monster.
Next episode, Universal Domination Most Foul.
Hello? Mr. Bannister?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were a creature with the eyes of a bug.
No, I'm Sydney. We spoke on the phone.
I sincerely doubt that. I don't get phone calls.
Remember? The interview for the official Juliet Bravo magazine?
Oh, my God, don't tell me there are unofficial magazines about it as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, the programme may be dead, but it still lives on for us, the fans. We can still watch the videos and talk about it at conventions. And there are spin-off novels too. And audio dramas featuring a handful of the original cast.
Why?
Oh, it's a tremendous coup for us, you agree to this interview. Everyone else on the show's been done to death. We know each and every anecdote back to front. But Martin Bannister, the holy grail of Juliet Bravo celebrity features. It took ages to track you down.
Are you really sure I said yes to all this? It doesn't sound like me at all.
I can write you the cheque right here and now.
Oh. Well, it's not as if I was especially busy anyway. A couple of hours afternoon TV and a sponge bath. But I can reschedule.
Great. That's great. Just let me set up my tape recorder. Great. And I can ask you about your time on Juliet Bravo.
Or as I think of them, the wilderness years.
And we're away. Martin Bannister, interview. Right. If I could ask you first to briefly tell us how you came to write for Juliet Bravo.
Well, I was a theatre writer in my 20s. Quite renowned, actually. Critics at the time said that the overall theme of my work was one of isolation. The horrors of isolation. But...
Sorry. If I could just interrupt you there...
What?
Great stuff. But I'll be honest. Our readers will just skim down the page until they see the words Juliet Bravo. Perhaps if I can take you through your stories for the series. You wrote 14 separate episodes. That's an awful lot.
My third wife had expensive tastes.
Your first was Burglary Most Foul. Talk me through that one.
Burglary Most Foul. Are you sure that was me?
Absolutely. I know the Juliet Bravo programme guy cover to cover.
They all blur into one, frankly. They were pretty much the same story, weren't they?
Of course not.
Oh, rubbish. It was a bit of cheap Saturday night viewing. That's all. Something to carry the family over from the football scores to the generation game. It seems to me that if you're trying to analyse it, as you and your friends obviously do, you're missing the point. Now, my early work, that was worth analysing. The isolation theme.
Well, maybe if we skip past individual episodes for the moment, till you jog your memory, perhaps you could say what working on Juliet Bravo finally meant to you.
Oh, right. You mean, was it a cause or a symptom?
I'm sorry?
Of my career. Once so promising, pissed away on disposable TV. I suppose I'll have to say it was a symptom. The rot had set in long before I got stuck on Bravo.
Norman Benson warned me about you. He said you were difficult.
Who the hell's Norman Benson?
Your producer. He said you were arrogant.
Oh, if only I had been. If I'd had the courage to walk out of those endless script meetings, slam the door, never came back. I wasn't arrogant enough, didn't have principles enough. I'd all got sucked away. Now, listen. I was arrogant once. When I started, of course I was. You've got to be to do this job. To believe that the words you come up with are worth anyone's time or money. If I hadn't been arrogant, I'd have been like you. Someone who can only write about writers because they haven't the guts to do it themselves. No offence.
I think that's...
Yeah, shut up! When I was young, I was going to be the best playwright since Shakespeare. Hell with it, I'd be better than Shakespeare. Let's beat the bard. I wrote plays of dazzling sophistication and intellectual rigour, and not one of them featured a police officer who was a woman. Can you believe that? They died at the box office. But in 1961, I was one of the 10 young writers to watch out for. The Times had done a list. I was number 7. I bought 10 copies.
I don't...
Now, shut up! You want an interview? Right, I'll give you a bloody interview. As the years go by, you realise you aren't as good as Shakespeare, and you aren't as good as those other 9 writers to watch out for. They're all being watched and no one's watching you. Oh, you scale down your ambitions. You pride yourself you can always meet deadlines. Then you'll be proud if no one sacks you, when you stop being able to meet them. And I was never sacked in my whole professional career, I'll have you know. That Crossroads thing was a mutual decision, and Doctor Who wasn't my fault. And you end up with nothing left to write, because you've nothing left to say, and you're not sure you ever did have interviewed about a piss-poor TV show you wouldn't want to touch with a barge pole. No offence.
I think there's nothing more to say. I'll see myself out.
It was Doctor Who, yes. That's where the rot set in. Do you think maybe that's why I've been dreaming about it? Could that have been where it all went wrong?
I've never heard of Doctor Who.
No, of course you haven't. It never reached the screens. It would have been my first TV job. The BBC had got hold of this firebrand executive, Sidney Newman. That was it. Australian chap. Or Canadian, I can't remember. And I was commissioned to write the first script.
Was it anything like Juliet Bravo?
Oh, good God, no. It was science fiction.
Science fiction? On television?
It was the grumpy old rag and bone man who lived in a police box. It was bigger inside than outside. That's right. And it could fly out to the stars or back into history.
Let me get this straight. A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can go anywhere in time and space?
Sidney Newman was keen on the cavemen for some reason. I don't know why. Any series which kicked off with Neanderthals grunting about making fire wouldn't have lasted 4 weeks, let alone a full year. I was going to take Doctor Who to meet Hannibal. Lovely elephants. I suppose it was a bit of a compromise, signing on for this children's series. But it was a quick job, and it had imagination. Not like Juliet Bravo. He could do anything, go anywhere.
It sounds ridiculous.
You need to broaden your horizons. Perhaps if you'd grown up on a diet of Doctor Who rather than those bland police series, you'd be something more than a journalist for a niche magazine.
And if it was so good, why was it scrapped?
Who knows? The BBC got scared. They got rid of Sidney Newman, sent him back to Australia, or Canada, or whatever it was. I didn't even get to finish that first script. The BBC had me under contract. They put me onto another series instead. And that was the slippery pole. I always thought I'd break free, but I never wrote for the theatre again.
You make it sound like you were owed something.
Well, wasn't I? I had talent. Shouldn't that account for something?
You were doing a job thousands of us would give our right arms for. I would have loved to have written for Juliet Bravo. I don't know. I came here to help you.
Help me?
Give you a chance to defend yourself to the fans. Your stories. All of them. They're loathed. All 14 are in the bottom half of the internet online rankings. To fandom, your name is a joke.
No one likes them?
Here. Here's your cheque. But we won't be publishing this.
Well, not even Burglary Most Foul? That was my first. That was my best.
Goodbye, Mr. Bannister.
That was my best.
There. What did you think of that one?
It was very good.
It wasn't bad, was it? Do you think I could have turned professional?
No, as I say, I'm not an expert. I just wrote for the theatre and radio and television and films and stuff.
I've got another poem here.
It really is very late.
Just a little one. Can't tell you how much it means to me talking to a fellow writer.
Well, if it is little.
Oh, how I love the countryside, with all the flowers out to view. The daffodils butterscotch yellow and the cornflowers a TARDIS blue.
Hey, wait a minute. TARDIS? Where did you get that from?
I don't know. It's a type of shrub, isn't it?
TARDIS. 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 I'm sorry, Miss Wright. You'll have to go now.
Just like that?
Yeah, I've got some writing of my own to do. TARDIS. Yes!
Well, if you're going to do some writing in here, then I might do some writing in my room. Just through there. And we'll be writing together.
Good night.
Oh. Yes. Good night, then.
What?
Now I'm up. I can see that green stain by the wardrobe. There's another one. Look.
And another.
Yes, and there too.
Lots of them. Like footprints.
They're going to be the devil to clean.
Footprints. From the wardrobe all the way to my bed. Oh, my God.
Mr. Bannister, your headboard. What have you been doing?
Claw marks. Gouging out the wood.
You really are a mucky pup, aren't you?
It comes out of the wardrobe and it wants to kill me.
What does?
How should I know? I haven't named it yet. Miss Wright, there's a monster in my wardrobe.
Oh, that's just silly. If you don't want to be alone, you don't have to invent fairy stories.
Now, open the wardrobe. Carefully.
If you insist.
Well?
There's nothing in here, Mr. Bannister. Except for your suits and trousers, of course.
Oh, thank God. It's as it should be.
Mind you, it is bigger on the inside than the outside.
What?
There's a sort of void thing, stretching out as far as the eye can see.
Doesn't that strike you as rather odd?
It is a little odd, I agree. None of our wardrobes have done that before. Lucky you. Don't tell any of the other residents, they'll all get jealous.
Is that all you can say?
And with all the extra space, you've no excuse being such a mucky pup anymore.
We've got to block the door. Help me move the dresser.
I certainly will.
Help me!
Oh, very well, if it makes you happy. Though what you hope to achieve.
There. Now, nothing can get out. I'm safe.
Yes. Well, good night, Mr. Bannister.
Well, yes, good night.
And you did like my poems.
What?
You think I have genuine talent?
Yes, sure, tons of it, whatever you like.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you. That makes me feel I could put my arms around you.
Yeah, good night.
Sleep tight.
I must stay awake so nothing can get out. So nothing can hurt me. You can't get me! So why don't you just turn around, eh? And take your void with you. Oh, my God! You just keep away from me. I have a gun. It may not look as if I do, but I have, and I'll shoot you. God help me, I'll shoot you. What are you?
Grandfather, come on. Everyone's waiting for us.
You've got the wrong man. I don't have any grandchildren.
They're waiting.
But I do, don't I? I have a grandson. After all these years, who would have thought it? Is that you? Are you Tom?
I'm Susan. Grandfather?
Don't want you. Go away.
But, Grandfather, I love you.
Well, I don't love you, so sod off.
Grandfather, after all our adventures, please don't say that, please.
Shh. You'll wake Miss Wright.
The history teacher.
The Night Warden.
Is she an enemy we have to defeat?
Well, no, she's just a stupid old bat, really.
Stupid old bat! Stupid old bat!
George, Susan, don't you hear?
Stupid old bat! Stupid old bat!
Stupid old bat!
Oh, you do love me, don't you, Grandfather?
Yeah, you know I do, very much.
You have to come with me. We can't start without you.
What are you talking about?
It's 5:15 on Saturday afternoon. Everyone's waiting for us. They're all waiting for us.
Don't be ridiculous. It's 2 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Time is relative. You taught me that.
I did? What an absurd thing to do.
Come on, Grandfather. Take my hand. Let's go into the TARDIS.
TARDIS? The wardrobe. It's the TARDIS?
I made up the name from the initials Time and Random Destinations in Space. Take my hand. You want to, don't you?
Yes.
Friends are in my grasp.
Never! Oh, you can imprison us, even kill us, but you will never truly defeat us, because we burn with the human spirit, and we shall pit our wits against you.
Your companions are already dying, Doctor, and soon you will join them.
Doctor, I shall faint.
I can't feel my legs.
Grandfather, I'm so sick. You alone can save us.
What have you done to them, you foul monstrosity?
Radiation poisoning. From the moment you set foot on our benighted planet, you were doomed.
Doctor, you should never have brought us here.
You mucky pup, what have you done?
What sort of father are you?
I shall defeat you, as I defeat all the monsters. What is your name?
I am called the Supreme One.
No doubt because you wish to enslave all sentient life through time and space?
Well, actually, it's just a happy coincidence.
But you are wholly evil.
Yes, you'd like that, wouldn't you? After all, characterization was never your strong point, was it, Martin?
What do you mean?
Even when you were young and promising, when your plays won awards, it was all theme, theme, theme with you. The horrors of isolation. What rot!
You know my work?
But then how could you write characters when your whole life you've never made the least effort to understand real people? Your wives, even your son, all pushed to one side.
Shut up! Just shut up!
But I'm really here on behalf of the official Juliet Bravo magazine. Perhaps you could say what the series finally meant to you. Was it a cause or a symptom? Gods, take them to the dungeons!
What are you going to do with us?
A little more. Little away criticism. And then I shall take over the universe!
Get your tentacles off me!
Grandfather, help!
I don't know what to do! Why did you abandon my mother and me? I was 6 years old! Doctor Who, you utter bastard!
I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do.
You don't do anything.
Okay.
Just look at it.
Right.
Ready?
Wow.
Yes.
To think. Once, this was alive. Could walk, talk, feel. Reduced to this. It's a little humbling, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose so.
You don't get much, do you?
Oh, this isn't all of it. This is just your share.
Oh, you mean that...
I thought you deserved a portion of Mum's ashes, since you were married to her.
Oh, so these are mine. I'll get to keep them.
If you want them.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
I'm taking back the urn, though. So if you could...
Oh, yes, of course.
Take the ashes out.
We'll pour them into this teacup. It's clean, I think. Yes. Well... Thanks, son.
Why did you leave us?
I don't think we want to get into that, do we?
I want to know. I need to know. Why you hurt us like that.
The simple answer is I found you boring. Sorry.
Oh.
I'd come out of my study after a day's work. Do you have any idea how hard it was to put words down on a blank sheet of paper? To force yourself to find something to say? And all I'd get was your mother and you.
I was only six.
I so much wanted to be a great writer, Philip. I'm sorry. An artist, a genius. It's what geniuses do. Wagner, Picasso, Dickens had affairs, treated their wives, their children like shit. They had the right. I wanted to be like them. Rise above the right and wrong, only the art mattered. I dare say you must feel the same with your work.
I'm an estate agent.
Or maybe not. But the thing is, I was wrong. I wasn't a genius. I didn't produce the Sistine Chapel. I produced 14 episodes of Juliet Bravo. I gambled my family away on a dream of posterity when it turns out I was a hack all the time.
You're sorry?
Yeah, of course I'm sorry. I could have had a family. I could have had a grandson all these years. Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm not sure I can go through with this.
What's the matter?
Promise me you won't be cross, Dad. Mum's not dead.
Amy's alive?
Alive and well and living in Purley.
I don't understand. The ashes!
I had to see you. Do you see? I had to invent an excuse.
Wait a moment. Whose are the ashes?
Oh, don't worry. It's just a guinea pig.
A guinea pig?
Yeah, I got one from the pet shop. It's all right. I bought it and everything. I did own it.
You killed A guinea pig?
It wasn't a baby one. It wouldn't have had long. Look, I needed something for the ashes. You're right, you don't get much.
Well, how did you get that sort of temperature?
I'm trying to say something important here. Can we move on from the guinea pig, please? It's not important.
If you wanted to see me, you could just have called. You didn't need to set rodents alight.
I tried so hard not to be you. A good father, a good husband. I made time for Tom when you never made time for me. All these years, I never so much as looked at another woman. If another woman came along, I'd turn right round and walk in the opposite direction. I tried so hard. But Judy still left me.
Your wife?
She left a note. She couldn't even say it to my face. She left a bloody note. And I knew I had to track you down because what you've done to me, it must be genetic, like you. I've failed at the whole family thing. It has to be your fault.
I'm sorry, Philip.
I get to see Tom every other Saturday. What have you done to me?
Do you want a handkerchief?
Thanks. But it's not your fault, is it? You were crap and I'm crap too. It's the way it is. Perhaps we could be friends after all. Perhaps it's not too late.
I think it's a bit too late, isn't it?
I'm a nice man, Dad, please. I could be really worth knowing.
You kill guinea pigs.
It was only a little one.
Now, be honest. If we weren't father and son, we wouldn't have anything in common at all. I wouldn't give you the time of day, nor would you to me. Would you?
No.
But it's not too late with my grandson. I never knew I had a grandson.
Tom? Oh, I don't know.
Oh, please, son. I've ruined things with your mother, with you. It could still work with Tom and me. It could still be perfect.
I only see him twice a month.
Don't you see? I haven't done anything wrong yet. Please.
Could I come too?
I suppose so.
All right. I'll bring him on Saturday.
Oh, thank you.
What will you do now? After all this?
I'm going to start writing again.
I thought you'd nothing left to say.
I was wrong. Do you want to take the ashes with you? It was your guinea pig, after all.
Could you get rid of them for me? It's not as if we were particularly attached.
For you, son. For you.
You're working late tonight?
It's all these ideas just spilling out onto the page. Writing has never come this easily before.
Well, that's just bonzer.
One moment. Who are you? How did you get into my room?
Oh, you know me, chum. Don't say you've forgotten Sidney Newman, who got you into the BBC in the first place.
Oh, yes, of course. But they got rid of you, didn't they? Flew you back to Australia or Canada or whatever.
That's right, mate. But now they've flown me back again to take charge of a very special project. It's the 40th anniversary of Doctor Who, and they want it back on TV where it belongs.
But they never got as far as filming the pilot. How can they revive something which never existed?
I don't know. These crazy limeys will do anything.
Your accent's changed.
You never could remember where I came from, but that doesn't matter. You're the writer for the job. Doctor Who is gonna be a smash. It'll run for years and years, and I want you to write every last word of it.
As it happens, that's what I've been working on.
Struth! Let's see. Are you making sure it stays educational, Mart? None of these bug-eyed monsters?
Keeping them to a strict minimum.
Ah, that's good. Well, filming starts tomorrow, so you've not got long.
Well, no, that's no time at all.
Better get back to work. This series could be massive. It could give you your career back. Out of the gutter. Out of mediocrity. You could be someone again.
I've never missed a deadline yet. Or, at least, I've never been sacked for missing one. Mr. Newman?
Who are you talking to, Grandfather?
There's no one there.
Oh, not now, Susan. I'm busy.
I think it's very odd you talking to imaginary people. Are you quite all right in the head? Come on, let's go into the TARDIS and have another adventure.
That's what I'm writing about. Please, leave me alone.
I don't understand. Why would you spend time writing about an adventure in time and space when you could be off having an adventure in time and space?
I know you don't take my work seriously, but it does put food on your plate. So please, Amy, have some consideration.
Who's Amy?
Never mind.
Oh! There's a line here for Susan. Is that me?
Yes.
What is it, Grandfather? That's awfully good.
Oh, thank you.
It's funny to see yourself speaking like that on a bit of paper.
Must be.
I don't get as many lines as you, Grandfather.
Well, of course not. I'm the hero. You're just a sidekick. Now, look, you can stay, but please be quiet. I've nearly reached the latest cliffhanger. There.
What's happened?
Certain death.
Oh, no!
It's all right. I can get us out of it. Who can that be at this time?
Mr. Bannister, are you asleep?
It's the stupid old bat!
Shh, Susan. Is everything okay, Miss Wright?
I'll just come in. Don't want to wake anyone. I have to come. I wanted to thank you.
Thank me for what?
You're not too busy, are you?
Well, I was doing some writing.
Grandfather, ask the stupid old bat what she wants.
What do you want?
I've been writing too. I've finished another poem.
Oh, yes, I suppose you want to read it to me?
Don't you see? It's my first poem for 15 years. You've inspired me, helped me find my muse.
Ah, jolly good.
I don't know how to thank you. But I thought a glass of wine might help, see? I know drinking in the room isn't permitted, but I won't tell if you won't.
Well, I don't know.
I won't take no for an answer. It's not exactly champagne, but it's nice and fizzy. Oh, dear.
Oh, look what you've done.
The stupid old bat spilled it, Grandfather.
Whoopsie-daisy.
Over your papers, too.
Over your papers. I'll just move them.
Get off our papers, you stupid old bat.
I'm sorry, I've been drinking before I got here. I'm a little nervous, you see. You make me nervous. May I talk to you, Mr. Bannister? Martin, on a most personal matter.
Go away.
Susan, perhaps it would be best if you went back to the wardrobe now.
The wardrobe?
The TARDIS. Back to the TARDIS.
But I want to defeat the stupid old bat.
No arguments. Go in.
Is something the matter, Martin?
The wardrobe. It really is getting bigger, you know.
Never mind the wardrobe. Come and sit down next to me. Bottoms up.
Cheers.
Another?
I don't think so.
I insist. You're a very lonely man, aren't you, Martin?
Not particularly.
Oh, you are. I've been watching you. I've been keeping my eye on you.
I have periods of loneliness.
I'm lonely. I'm bitterly lonely. Sometimes I get so lonely, sometimes in my room, that I cry myself to sleep. Did you know that?
No.
I've never been married, you know. I've never been validated that way. I was engaged once. This was years ago. Nice man. Science teacher at a local school, and then one day he just took off. Not a word. He just disappeared. I never heard from him again. I mean, I'd understand if he couldn't go through with it. I know I'm not much to look at. I know I'm not much, but he could have said goodbye, couldn't he?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
If it had been you, Martin, you'd have said goodbye, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I tried to find him, but it was as if he'd just vanished off the face of the earth, and after a few years looking, I stopped loving him. If Ian Chesterton ever came back to find me, I think I'd kill him. I would. I mean, it's all right. He hasn't, so I can't. Sorry.
Don't you think you'd be better off in your own room, Miss Wright?
I work here because I thought I'd do some good. Find lonely people like me, but they're not like me. They wee the bed. You don't wee the bed, do you, Martin?
I have never weed the bed.
Nor me. We have so much in common. We write, we have bladder control, and we're both lonely, so very, very lonely. We're kindred spirits, aren't we?
Put your glass down. You'll spill it.
I'll put my glass down. Good idea. I know I'm not much to look at. I know I'm not much.
Barbara, please.
But I'm real, Martin. At least I'm real. I really care. I really feel. Really, I do.
Yes, you're real.
That's what I said.
Maybe I've been doing all this wrong. I need a bit of reality.
I know I do.
Come here. A bit closer.
Why? What are you going to say?
What do you think you're doing?
I thought that was what you wanted.
I wanted a friend, someone to talk to, not that.
Shh! I'm sorry.
You'd think I want to kiss you? Look at yourself. You're old enough to be my father.
I'm not that old. Shh.
My elder brother, then, that's even worse. You're disgusting. You're filthy and disgusting.
Now keep it down. You'll wake everybody up.
I don't care. You, a writer? What business have you to write when you don't understand people? Is this what you've been working on?
Please, don't touch that.
Is it? Tell me or I'll shout the place down.
Yes, yes, it is.
You have no business being a writer.
Oh, no, stop!
No business at all.
You have wine in your room, Mr. Bannister. You know that isn't permitted.
No.
But I won't tell, if you won't. You won't, will you?
No.
I'm not much to look at, I'm not much. But I'm worth more than you think. Do you understand me? We'll say no more about this. All these papers everywhere, such a mess. Do try to keep your room tidy.
All ruined. All of it. Wait a moment. Ah, this page is still intact. Scene 10, interior. The dungeons of the Supreme One. Doctor Who and Susan are both weak from radiation sickness. Ian and Barbara lie on the ground, unmoving.
Grandfather, how is Mr. Chesterton?
I'm afraid it's too late, child. He's dead.
Oh, no. No, please, no.
Radiation sickness finally got him. I'm sure he felt no pain.
And Miss Wright?
Dead too. These poor, fragile earthlings. We should never have brought them to this terrible place.
Please, Doctor Who?
Grandfather, she's alive!
Well, maybe a little, but not for much longer.
I thought we were kindred spirits. I'm so lonely.
There you are, you see.
Oh, Grandfather.
There, there. They'd have wanted you to look on the bright side.
I suppose this way. I'll never have to do that homework they set me.
That's the spirit.
When did things get like this, Grandfather? All our travels, they used to be fun. Wasn't this supposed to be fun?
Maybe I've been doing all this wrong. I need a bit of reality.
I'm dying too. I can feel it.
I've got to get out of here. Back to the TARDIS.
Then let's go.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Susan. I've been giving this a bit of thought, and it would be best if I went on my own.
What? Why?
The thing is this. I have another grandchild, and I'm going to meet him at last. My own family. And this time, I'll get it right. I won't ruin everything. I'll love and I'll be loved. You'll see, Susan, you'll see.
But Grandfather, you're my grandfather!
Yes, but the difference is you're not real. I'm sorry, but you're not. I wish you were. Life would be so much easier if it really did consist of running away from bug-eyed monsters. But out there, it's more frightening than that.
Oh.
Now, don't cry, my dear, please.
I want to be real.
I've tried so hard to be real for you.
But it'd never have worked out, would it? You start off as an unearthly child, but before long, you'll be just another teenage girl screaming at shadows and needing to be rescued. But Tom, he has the capacity to develop, to grow. If I'm going to plump for a grandchild, it's got to be him rather than you.
I'll die here.
Yes, but it won't be painful. Radiation sickness is really rather a nice death. It's the one I'd opt for.
Please don't walk out, Martin. You can't just go.
Amy? No, don't.
You have a 6-year-old son. What about Philip? You can't just leave us.
I'm sorry, Amy. The marriage isn't working. You know it isn't.
I know you have affairs. It doesn't matter. You sleep with just who you like. I won't complain, but please don't leave me.
Do you know how pathetic you sound?
I know. I can't help it. I love you, Martin. Don't you love me too?
No.
Did you ever?
I don't know. Yes, I think so.
What did I do then? Just tell me what I did so I can stop doing it.
Now, don't cry, my dear, please.
I'll die here. I'll die without you.
Don't be ridiculous.
When did things get like this? Our marriage. Us. It used to be fun. Wasn't it supposed to be fun?
I'm sorry. I have to go.
Goodbye, Martin.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Grandfather.
Yes. Goodbye.
I love you, Grandfather. With all my heart.
I want you to meet someone, Tom. This is my father. Tom, it's Grandad.
Hello, Tom. It's very nice to meet you.
Tom, say hello.
Hello.
Do you have to play that game? Can't you turn it off now?
Not now. I'm beating my high score.
Wouldn't it be nice
if you... My highest score ever! Leave it.
Thanks for visiting me, Tom. It's a bit of a treat for me.
We can't stay long. We're going to the zoo this afternoon.
Oh, a zoo. Oh, that'll be fun, won't it, Tom?
Tom likes zoos.
I love zoos. Perhaps I could come along.
No. Sorry, Dad. There won't be room in the car.
Oh, no, I see. What's your favourite animal at the zoo, Tom?
Shit.
What?
I died.
Oh, bad luck.
Well, perhaps you can put it away now.
I think he's a little shy.
I suppose that could be it.
Just give me a few moments alone, see if I can't break the ice.
Well...
Please.
All right. Tom, I'm just going to be a few minutes.
Whatever.
Your dad's not easy to talk to, is he? I had the same problem. It'll be better now he's gone. I know we're going to be great friends. Tom, why don't you put the game down?
No!
What is it, anyway?
There are these alien invaders you have to blow up. Will they blow you up?
Interesting. Yeah, why are they invading? What's their motive?
Does it matter?
Well, tell me, Tom. Yes. What do you want to be when you grow up?
For God's sake.
I wanted to be a writer. Do you know that? And I became one. Though not the one I thought I was going to be. How about you, Tom?
I don't know. I don't care.
You get old so fast, you know. You grab on to it, Tom. Whatever you want to be.
I just said I don't care.
Well, you grab on to it anyway.
Yes! I blew up the mothership!
Oh, well done! Yes. It's very important we're friends, Tom. It's not just my writing. I let my family slide too, my wives, your dad. Too late now to get them back. There's only you. The only one I haven't ruined yet. It could still work. You and me could still be perfect. Great friends. Would you like that?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh.
You try too hard. You're just like Dad.
What do you mean?
I see Dad every other Saturday, and he tries too much. He talks to me all the time, takes me to museums and zoos. Mum doesn't try, nor does Simon, her boyfriend. They bought me a PlayStation 2 and an Xbox. Everyone at school's got one or the other. I'm the only one with both. They leave me alone. They don't take me to zoos. I hate zoos. I hate him. Shit! Dead again! It's your fault!
I could take you somewhere better than zoos. I can take you anywhere in time and space. I'm Doctor Who, and you can be my companion. I'll look after you. We'll look after each other. Okay, I didn't do so well with the last bunch. They all died of radiation sickness. But I'll do better next time. I promise. We can meet Hannibal. We can blow up alien invaders. Some of them might even have motives. Tom? Put the game down.
Hey, give that back!
Listen to me. I have a spaceship. It's disguised as a wardrobe, but it's really a spaceship. Look at it.
What are you talking about?
Just a bit of faith. Get into the wardrobe with me.
You're mental.
It's important. Get into the wardrobe and I can give you everything. I can make everything right again. What do you say?
Piss off, you sad old git. Ow!
You ungrateful...
Get off me!
I offered you worlds.
Ow!
What are you doing?
Dad, he hit me!
Get off him!
I offered him worlds, Philip.
He hit me and tried to force me into the wardrobe.
I thought you'd change. I actually thought...
He hit me!
Shut up, Tom! I thought there was something in what Mum said. Could see why she still loves you.
Amy? Still cares for me? Amy will take me back?
Oh, what an idiot. You're nothing, Dad. Nothing at all.
Go!
No, Dad, put it down.
Keep away from me.
Put the chair down.
What's going on, Mr. Bannister?
All of you, leave me alone.
Put down the chair, Martin. Look at the mess you're causing, you mucky pup.
Don't you patronise me, stupid old bat.
Is he often like this?
He has delusional spells. Last night he even threatened me.
I've no idea.
You don't think he's in this place through choice, do you? Come on, Martin, calm down.
I'm calm.
Good boy.
Keep back, or I swear I'll clobber you!
I'll fetch the doctor. You like the doctor, don't you?
I'm so tired of hurting people. All my life, I'm sick of it. I've had enough, do you hear? I've had enough!
Put the chair down.
Put it down, Dad.
I'm getting into my TARDIS now. Don't try and follow me.
Get him!
Martin, come out of there.
Oh, it's no good. It won't open.
Well, wait. He can't stay in a wardrobe forever, can he?
I can't breathe! I can't breathe! It is just a wardrobe! I can't get...
Grandfather, you made it!
Susan? But I thought you were dead.
We always have happy endings, you and I.
But you are dead. Are you sure you're not dead?
That's up to you.
Well, what do I do? Tell me.
You are the teller of stories, the weaver of spells. You are Doctor Who, the saviour of countless worlds, the eccentric old man in a police box. You are Doctor Who, my grandfather, and I love you.
I've ruined everything, hurt so many people.
That's out there. But from now on, things can be perfect. Tell me, am I your granddaughter? Or are you going to write me out of your story?
You are Susan Who.
Dad, open the door.
Mr. Bannister.
Can you hear that?
No.
Nor can I. I've just written them out of my story. That hasn't hurt them, has it? I haven't made things worse.
You have to make one more decision, Grandfather. A final decision.
Final? Really?
This TARDIS of ours is an erratic old thing. We never quite know where it will take us next. Once we leave, I doubt we'll be able to return.
I like the sound of that.
And I suspect that if you step outside now, you'll never find the TARDIS again. It'll just be a wardrobe full of suits you'll never have a reason to wear.
I'm frightened, Susan. I'm frightened.
I know. But I'll look after you. Are you ready?
Yes. Let's find new worlds to explore.